In a special episode of the Culture Power Thinking Ross podcast, Nicholas Moll sits down with Project Officer Fiona Hall to discuss the National Lottery Heritage Funded Project, Power Thinking Ross Remembers.
Fiona, nice to see you today. Now we're going to have a wee chat about your role here with us at Culture Power Thinking Ross, because you're only working with us for a little bit longer in order to complete what we call the Perth and Kinross Remembers Legacy Project. So now I know from my own work at Achebell that lots of people were inspired by the centenary of the Great War. And I mean, from about, even earlier than 2014 onwards, we've had loads of people doing stuff and doing all sorts of project work to look at exhibitions and war memorials, parades and remembrance services. So tell me, now all of that is over, the actual centenary is over, what is it you're doing? What are you here to do for us at the moment?
Hi, Nikki. So it's good to see you. So my role for the past year has been about, well, Perth and Kinross Remembers has been to collect all of the material created by the memorial project. So some of them that you're familiar with and from the previous years and the centenary, like you said. But I'm collecting this material that's been created by memorial projects and individuals and preserving this material in a First World War legacy collection. It'll be based here in Perth and Kinross Archive, and it'll be catalogued and preserved for future generations. So right from the outset, it was so important that we gather all of this valuable material to show future generations how Perth and Kinross remembered and commemorated the First World War and its centenary. Yeah. So that's the gist of it.
That's the gist of it. That's what you're here to do. So it's great because just amazing stuff that's coming in as well, and just what you're seeing.
Mm.
So how did what do you usually do then? You've only been here with us for how long is it now? About a year.
So it's been a year, and so I mean, it would be the elephant in the room, of course, is COVID. I mean, how can we not talk about COVID when we talk about a year long project?
Put everything out, yeah.
So for the past year, when I started back in September 2019, we had our first kind of big project meeting, and that was with people that you and the team in the local and family history team had worked with before, and so gathering them all together and just saying this is the launch of the project, and that was the kind of first big meeting we had. I ran a couple of collecting days that you helped me out with.
Yeah, that was good fun.
At Strathairn and Bridalbin, and that was quite a small, relatively small thing. And we collected and we met a few different people there actually, which was lovely, and collected a few things. So it's mainly been about collecting the material, and a lot of it has been digital deposits. So it's very different from the previous collecting days where it's been, you know, postcards and other ephemera, postcards, military records,
letters
and like kind of some artifacts as well.
Yeah, people brought in medals and all sorts of things that they had in the family, not to give to us, but just to let us see them,
to share a story. And I think that's what's come out of this as well, is there's so many stories.
Yeah.
And I mean, going through previous collections, through previous digitization days, the stories from little villages, you know, William Allen and that kind of stuff, it's a lot of sad stories, but there's a lot, I think, positivity from collecting this material again. And it's about the preservation of it, so it's mainly been about collecting. And of course it's been a lot of remote collecting. I did kind of put out a notice prior to March. I did meet with a few depositors, and it was through Lethem St Mark's Church. And I got a few, some embroidered postcards that were sent from Salonika.
Okay.
From the Lamond family and the Duncan family. And there's a kind of connection there between, which I'll talk about later, about completely separate community project and this family deposit that kind of brought together, that's been brought together through this project. So it's been a lot of lovely, lovely work, but sadly it's been remotely, so the connection between people hasn't been the same.
Mm-hmm.
But what
over
can
time.
You do?
yeah. And you usually work with Historic Environment Scotland, so you're only seconded out for a year. So are you going back to that job next? And is that where your expertise lies? You're an archivist, or are you?
I'm not I'm not an archivist. I'm not a qualified archivist, but I've worked. So my role here has been a little bit different from what I've done previously. So at HES, I'm part of the Digital Projects team, which is an externally funded project to digitise and catalogue and make available thousands of images and records of the historic environment. So I'm going back to that. I was on a secondment when I found out about this job, and I was secondment/career break. So that's how I came to this job. But I've never actually worked alongside a local and family history team. So to see the I guess the value of, we were talking about earlier about newspapers and the value of the role of index cards and newspapers that played a huge role in people's research and First World War research. So it's been a very different experience, and different from previous First World War projects that I've worked on, which have relied on a set of slightly different records. So it's been, I will go back to HES, but I will definitely bring experience from this role back.
It's a nice crossover because you're just, and you've got the digital experience and how to preserve these records and things now, but you can see the value of having that old material, all the old newspapers in the library. I mean, that's one of the biggest sources for people, has to be, and they can always go back to the papers, and the papers were telling people what was happening during those war years. So when this is all together, so you've brought these people have brought their projects to us. They've maybe had a parade in their town. They've maybe done a lot of research on the war memorial in the village. They've amassed everything: notes, papers, documents, scribblings, photographs, images, scans, or they've maybe got a nice shiny finished product, like a lovely book or a booklet or something. So what are we taking in? Are we taking in everything, or are we just trying to take in what people want to give us? I mean, do we want all their workings as well as the kind of final event thing as well? Is that?
I think there's this is when the kind of archive approach comes in. There's a balance between, so we, for example, we've had a few publications that have been brought in from Steve Clays, who's the parish historian for St John's Roman Catholic Church, St John the Baptist Roman Catholic Church. So he's recently produced a final piece of work, but we also have some previous research of his that was deposited. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit a kind of amalgamation of the two. We will take, if there's databases, so for example, Tommy Smith, whose research has been focused on vast amount of research. It's focused on Perth, based on the Perthshire Golden Book of Remembrance. So it's a database that's not been published, but it's a
it's not out there yet.
Work.
People can't see that yet.
No, but it will be at one point. It will be, and there's, I mean, people have, so it doesn't have to be out, but we don't just take published pieces. We take
everything.
Notes as well. We've got, honestly, there's been a lot of deposits. In total, we've had 55 deposits.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I mean, some of them.
So this is a whole real collection then. This is something that will be called Perth and Kinross Remembers Legacy, you know.
First World War Legacy Collection.
Yes.
So it's made up of what we call memorial projects.
Yes.
So that's finished pieces of work by people like Flowers of the Forest, which was Perth Academy's project, Cathief Remembers, and they had a two-week project they had to commemorate the Third Battle of Ypres, and that way, but the amount of work for a two-week programme was vast, so we've got a record of that, but we also had, like I said earlier, we had individual pockets of research, maybe on one or two people, coupled with some photographs, so it's a variety, and it's obviously it's all valuable, and I think the people that have deposited with us are just so engaged and still are engaged with it, and I think us having either the original or a copy of it, I think it's nice to know that it's going to be in one big collection that can be accessed.
I think the value of the library, I mean, I know that from working in this department, is that people have come in now 100 years on from the Great War. And a lot of people have been astounded to know that they can still look at an actual newspaper from 1914, 1915, 1916. Those newspapers are still here. Actual, you know, they're not images of them, they're not scans, you know, there are microfilms of them, but, you know, they're actually still here. And I think that's what's lovely, that they've come in and found these resources. And they've now made something which hopefully in 50 or 100 years people will come back to look at too and say, well, this is what people did at the centenary of the Great War, this is what they were about. And I think that's a really nice, I don't know, it's quite nice, isn't it?
It is nice.
Isn't
that word nice is a bit basic, isn't it? But it is nice. It's lovely to know that. It's kind of full circle because, especially
circle,
for you and Stuart and the team, as well as, like, you helped people in their research and facilitated discussions. And there's, like, a network going as between different researchers and different community projects that I think they'll always keep in touch. But you helped them, facilitate their research, and then it's come back round to being deposited here as well.
Yeah.
So it's a really nice thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought that was really important part of it, that we didn't lose sight of that work, that we didn't just maybe, I mean, we wanted to celebrate it or maybe help people put on their own little display or exhibition or go along to these events, but actually having that collection at the end of the day, I think that's even more important. Something, you know, we'll all move on, we'll all do different things, just as the people did 100 years ago. But, you know, that'll still be here for people to come back and look at. What about some of the projects then? Maybe just highlight a couple of things that maybe would be quite nice to sort of tell me about as well.
So I guess the memorial projects, like I mentioned, there's been kind of Cree for Members and Flowers of the Forest. There's been other school ones as well that I've actually just kind of been a recent digital deposit that I've collected, and it's Morrison's Academy in Creeth, Creeth.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2018. Their head of Paula O'Neill, their head of kind of art and design, she it was a kind of across the school, like every pupil made a little house to commemorate. So Paula was interested in the impact of war at home and thinking about the people that lived
were back here
back here, and so every pupil or most pupils created a little, it was a kind of interdisciplinary project, but most pupils created a little house, and all of these little houses were hanging in the memorial hall at Morrison's Academy, and 76 of them were lit to represent the fallen former pupils of the academy. I think it was the fallen, or if it was it was everyone that went to fight, I'm not quite sure. I can clarify, but it was, and the photograph of that, we have a record of that. And Paula read out a poem at this ceremony as well, and it's about the impact of war at home, and you know, being at home, being safe, and then your family member is out there fighting. So it's that, and I think that's quite a unique type of thing to have the kind of art creative side to it as well.
And the art and everything sort of involved in that, because I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, some projects were about finding out more about soldiers' lives and how they died, you know, and we forget that lots of people were affected by the war, and they didn't fight in the trenches, and they were here doing work and supporting it all. And that's another really important aspect of the project work, that it wasn't just about the soldiers or nurses even. It was actually about, well, what were people doing back home? You know, how were they feeling about all of this? And because, some of the project work's been quite...
Some of the project work has been based around here. So Nancy Johnson, who worked up until now, she worked for SAFA, so the Soldiers, Sailors and Air Force Families Association.
That's
so they kind of, and Nancy was asked to by SAFA to carry out research into the activities of the Perth and Kinross branch and what they did during the war. So Nancy got to research and present her research to the Black Watch Museum and at the AK Bell back a couple of years ago. So and it,
Nancy just got sucked right into it. She just loved it. Oh, she was great.
But she was great, and she has also like really got a really interesting kind of personal interest in just everything stained glass memorial too. So, but Nancy's SAFA research kind of highlights home front activity and even me going through newspapers. So much fundraising for troops and different events that I find fundraising so fascinating about the women that are involved in
women,
the charitable side.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting as well, that you see a lot of that female activity, who's on committees, how they were raising money, what kind of things they were doing.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm interested in women's history as well, so we like to put that side of it. But also the voluntary aid detachment workers, people who were also involved. I mean, that's the same. We're actually in the AK Bell Library, which was, you know, the hospital at that time. It's really spooky thinking that. Isn't that weird as well? This collection will come back to a building that
was
used and created.
Yeah.
I find that quite astounding that the newspapers from 100 years ago are in the actual place. I love that. It's a nice, as you say, it's kind of a full circle. But Nancy's project was fantastic at SAFA, and all of the work that was done there.
And she also did research into the war memorials in Creeth Parish Church, because I think a number of churches in Creeth closed, and so the church, all the war memorials kind of came together in one church. So Nancy carried out a lot of research into the names, and there was a little exhibition as well. So she's done a lot. But just going back to the AK Bell, we've got in our collection a digital copy of Edith Maud Drummond Hayes' First World War album, and that is, Edith was based here for some time and during her training in the First World War. So Edith,
as a nurse,
as a VAD nurse,
as a vet,
and she was in her 40s when she became a VAD nurse. So there's this idea that it's always young women that go out and train, and of course, but there was Edith, who obviously, I'll need to show you some pictures, actually, I'll send them to you, but her sketchbook, she's a really beautiful illustrator and artist, and it shows you like the different wards in the AK, what is now the AK Bell, and the kind of the bringing of the troops, taking wounded Belgian soldiers to the dentist nearby.
Really, that's amazing.
You know, them having to clean the, they were initially in the county building, down near and they cleaned that building out, and then she went out to the Six Sisters Hospital, I think, in Abbeville in France, and she documents her journey. So it's a combination, and she's got some beautiful watercolours of the Somme, of the cemetery at Abbeville, and she's from Perth, and she came back to Perth after the war, and I think she continued doing some VAD work, and she lived in Perth, and her great-nephew, I think it's her great-nephew, he still lives in the house. And this album just gives you an insight. It's very poignant, but it's also really comical, and she's a bit of a character.
So she's picked out all sorts of little...
She's picked out, and you can see the names of the different sisters, so there's a lot of research to be done and cross-referencing between a couple of our other albums.
You could do a PhD on that album, couldn't you? You could
I would love to. But I'm not really academic, but I would love to do something.
But you could see how something like that would lead you to other, you know, not just about her life. And also that interesting thing about, you know, being an older woman, you're right, we have this kind of idea that young women trying to get involved and not doing the same jobs as normal or taking on different jobs. But in fact, it was women of all ages and stages and families, everyone was involved. I think they did lots of stories about children helping out with lots of things as well, at some of the garden parties and fetes and all the fundraisers and delivering things and doing stuff. So that these stories are lovely. I mean, there's other projects as well, and other people that we've come across over the time. Mm-hmm. And people who then have become, like Ray Taylor, I know Ray, you know, he's become like a published author now, you know, I mean, Ray has done so much work and he's published books, it's just fantastic, you know, to see people who came here and started doing the research, but in actual fact are bringing out their own books now, and they've moved from just being, having an interest and moving right on to publishing their own work. It's fantastic.
I know, I think he published, I can't remember the exact date, maybe 2015 he first published Meagle's War Dead.
That's
but
right.
He was prompted, I hope Ray won't mind me saying this, but I think he moved to Meagle in the 1990s,
right,
and its interest first started by looking at the names. So I was thinking about reflecting on the project yesterday. I was thinking about how a lot of the research starts with the names in a memorial, and no matter what it is, if it's, you know, just researching the military history, the biographical history, or if it's creating a kind of another event in association with the war memorial, it all comes from this one physical piece that's kind of in the landscape across Perth and Kinross and all of our towns and villages, and it stems from there. So Ray was intrigued by the names on the war memorial, and that's how his interest in his publication arose, and he's written amazing things.
Yeah. And he's actually an expert on it, actually. You know, I mean, if you needed to know these things, as well as finding them in the book, you know, and I think that's where the research stuff comes in, because I know from doing my own research is that you always find more than you can publish. You know, use other wee things or other sort of, you know, tail ends of bits and other things that might not fit, you know, so you've always got these other bits and pieces too, and they keep going in your mind. And things come after your publication too, so you're probably always going to have that interest. It's great, but I think it's nice that local people have become local authors. You know, we're sitting amongst the books here today, with the rolling stack and people moving around about us doing things, but it's nice to know that all these books and things are actually, you know, part of our own collections now. But what people came to see, you know, they're now expanding. I think that's a really nice aspect of the project.
It is, and Creef remembers and Scone remembers both the publications as well, and it's kind of like the fruits of their labour.
Yeah.
As well, and the amount of it, just not that you have to have a publication to show that you're hard work, but it's a sign that they've, in some ways, they've reached a point with their research and they can publish it. But like you said,
it just doesn't end.
It never ends. And I think that's maybe something that needs to be documented in the future, the kind of, again, how research, like you're highlighting that, we have the collection and that's great, but maybe in the future there'll be other
things
snippets
might come
in
to light. I mean, you just never know. I mean, I think also lots of things, a lot of people can't get to the things they want because they're not online yet, you know, as well. There's an awful lot of that, that sometimes, you know, the hard graft of going to the... I know that some people may have found more out about local nurses if they'd managed to get to the Red Cross archives, because that's where a lot of material, but a lot of that stuff isn't digitised yet. It's still project work. You still have to go there in person and do things. So there's probably going to be more stuff that will still come out over time. And I think kids in schools, I mean, I think the Flowers of the Forest project, you know, doesn't end with a battlefield trip either. So they're going to keep coming back, because I think it's part of the curriculum. You know, it's really important. So what you've put into the archive with the legacy collection will also be used for teaching again? And
I think so. I think so. And it's definitely, you know, we've had other school projects in Creef High School, and it was a kind of interdepartmental project that only lasts a day, but we have the output of that. Mm-hmm. So it goes beyond the day. And I think coming back schools, and I was at Laura Hobson from
Perth Academy. Yeah.
She was saying to me that she still uses all the research that Dave Dykes carried out and all the research that her and her pupils were involved in, and the event, she still uses these in her teaching for the curriculum, like you said. So this memorial book that is now on their website, that contains the biographies of 168 individuals, mm-hmm. and she uses that in her teaching. And I can imagine that sitting in a classroom and it's previous pupils your age that went out to fight or went and served at a Red Cross hospital. And there was Mabel Milne, who I think was one of the only women listed young That's girls right, that went yeah. out and unfortunately was killed. So I think there's, and like you said, using this material in the future for education purposes, there's so much value in this.
I think it's really relevant as well. You're right. When people are sitting in their own church or their own school or their own community, whatever it is, whether it's a hall or something nearby, it just makes people stop and think. And I think, you know, I went to lots of the Flowers of the originally when I was, you know, when they were doing these, you know, we went up to the school when they were holding their little service, because they tried to do a memorial service
For every pupil. On the 100th anniversary of the pupil's death. So that's a big commitment.
It's huge. It's a big commitment. Over how many years for the school and everything. I mean, Laura and Dave were fantastic. And actually the pupils themselves were so involved with it. You know, they just, they got really, and they read out what they'd been finding about these. And I thought, gosh, it's, you know, you're right. And when you have, you know, when your own kids go through school and you see the age of them and you think, that's a whole year group. A whole year group, you know, all hitting 1914, 1915, and they were all going to war, and you think, oh, my goodness, you know, that kind of thing today, it's, that really brings it home to you, the enormity of it.
I think
well.
There's a collection, so through Dave Dykes from Perth Academy, I met up with Jane McCartney, who is the granddaughter of Verena Sieber and Alexander Campsey, and the great niece of Jack Sieber. And Jack, Verena and Alexander all attended Perth Academy.
Right, okay.
And so, and they all lived near on Balhousie Street. Mm-hmm. So when I walked to the gym,
I walked past the Sieber family house.
Uh-huh. And Jack died, he was killed in the First World War, but Verena and her mother Agnes, they were heavily involved in the home front. Mm-hmm. And Alexander, he was born near Dunkeld, and he survived the war, and he went on to become like a minister, but Verena and Alexander married.
Right, okay.
So there's this lovely story, but I walked past Balhousie near the Black Watch Museum, so lots of history, and I just think about this Sieber family who came from Leeds to Perth to work for Pullers. They were heavily involved in Pullers.
So
a lot of history to be unpicked from this collection. I'm so jealous of whoever gets to catalogue it. But Verena and Agnes were involved in the Perth Patriotic Battle.
Oh, yeah.
Which was at the station, based in at the Perth station. So they were involved in that committee. And I don't have the number to hand, but it was something like they helped or they held or they sold over 1,000 things or raised money for people and soldiers. So
when the trains came in, the soldiers could have a refreshment.
That cigarette
was the whole thing. Yes. And baking and cups of tea and things. And they manned that and they had to raise the money for all the things that they put on it, because they had to then, the Patriotic Barrow is an amazing, so we've got a fantastic booklet and pamphlet.
I've looked it out. It's part of history that would have been lovely to have created for the legacy celebration. I think having our own version of
somebody
the Patriotic
who worked
Barrow.
Here before, Sarah Ann, actually that was her dream to recreate the Patriotic Barrow on this station. We might get there one day, one of these days, you never know, because all sorts of things have happened since then. But that's brilliant. It's a really lovely insight, Fiona, into what we're doing. And I know that you've asked some of the people that have been involved in the project to talk about what it means to them. So I'm going to come back and revisit that in another podcast we'll do, and maybe we'll hear those voices and hear from some of the people who were involved, because it'd be really interesting to know what kind of impact it had on them, you know, carrying out the research and what the project means to them. I bet some of them are surprised that, you know, we have this stuff and that we want that stuff and that it's part of collections. You know, people think it's old material that you find in the archive. They don't realise that we keep adding to these things, you know, so that they're there for future generations. So It's really nice that you've been part of that. So
it's been a pleasure to be part of, and I just wanted to say, because I think for me this is, but I remember one of the talks that we were due, that was meant to happen in April, was a talk by Phyllida Shaw, who is a relative of Maurice Meredith Williams, who was an artist that carried out work for the Shrine of St John's Kirk. And I, in my previous role at HES, I got to handle the original designs for these stained glass memorial windows. So for me to come and work in Perth and to visit St John's Kirk and see the stained glass window and to work here on a First World War memorial project, because I love sculpture and stained glass and First World War, it's been a great pleasure, and I'd like to say thank you to my colleagues Ishbel and Sarah, and you, and Stuart, and Elaine, and the organisation for making me feel very welcome. Good. And it's been a difficult year, but we've gotten through it. So
yeah, the project's been one of those good news stories. Actually, after all that's gone on, you've gotten to the end of it. We've gotten to where we said we were going to get. We've
kind of
and we've done pretty much well. I think you've done very, very well in bringing it all together. So. And it's amazing what a friendly community they all are as well. All these lovely people, we've met them, both of us have met lots of them, and they are a really nice crowd. Yeah,
they're lovely. And I was up at Comrie recently and just chatting to, and sitting on a bench beside the War Memorial and the VC paving stone for John Manson Craig, and receiving the digital collection. Comrie, it was just a lovely experience, and seeing people in their natural habitat talking about an event important to them, an event that was happening right there. And across the road from the War Memorial in Comrie is the kind of the first War Memorial. It was like an institute for soldiers that was built. There's a lot. It was just, it was lovely.
Comrie's amazing. Well, actually, here's another connection. My great auntie's father, he actually he worked on the War Memorial. He actually helped subscribe and raise money for it, and he wrote the book Comrie and the Great War, which is a very limited publication, but he did all that research at the time and wrote about every person that was on the War Memorial and did all that, and that's one of the books that we have in the collection. And and my mum had two of them at home, because great auntie Jenny had two copies as well. And my mum said, I've got a book about that. And I said, Mum, we can't have a book about that. It's very rare. There's not very many copies. And we actually have them.
That's fantastic. So really, I remember fantastic. You telling me that and thinking, because I was just looking through, and I think in Comrie they have created a memorial walk for the Glorious Dead. And so I was just thinking about that in the book, because I remember you telling me that a few months ago. That's really nice. That's a nice really connection.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, again, you just come full circle. Yeah. Why on earth would I be here working with all these, you know, resources and collections and a book that somebody in my family had been involved with, and here we are, you and I, still, you know, connected
talking
to something
today.
So it's really, really, really nice. Yeah.
It has been, and it's been lovely to talk to you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. And if you're able to support Culture Perth and Kinross in any way, please consider donating to our Book Heroes campaign. A link to this campaign can be found on our website and in the show notes. Thanks again.